Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and this is a wonderful way to end our wonderful week of guests with an interview with a culinary specialist, a chef that has a real passion for food. We wouldn't want to be a chef if you didn't have it, but some people have more of a passion than others, and George has been involved with the food industry for so long. George Rapidus is my guest today. George, I want to welcome you from Michigan.
Thank you, Donna.
I really find that one of my favorite relaxing things to do is to watch cooking shows on television, and my husband thinks I'm nuts.
Oh, yeah.
But I just absolutely love the diversity of the way people prepare things, and there's just no limit to what you can do with food. I want my audience to know a little bit about you, George. You're a graduate of the Schoolcraft College Culinary Arts Program in Livonia, Michigan. You hold a Bachelor's of Science degree in Dietetics from Madonna University. You also have a Master's degree in Holistic Nutrition from Clayton College of Natural Health. And you've done a lot of radio and television, and we've got so much information to share with the audience about where they can find out more about you. But, George, when did you discover that working with food and presentation of food was going to be a passion for you? I mean, how did this all evolve?
Well, as you mentioned, I began my studies in Schoolcraft College of Culinary Arts in Livonia, and that's one of the best colleges in the country for culinary arts.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it has four master chefs, more master chefs than any other college. And actually, I'm Greek, so our background is filled with a lot of cooking in our tradition. So as a young boy, you know, I watched my mother cooking, and she had a catering company, and I would go and do a lot of catering with her when I was younger, and then I went and studied at Schoolcraft College. So just something that I was just a natural at it. I always watched the chefs, how they would decorate a plate, and, you know, the plate was never complete until it had been garnished.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's so important is that a meal is more nourishing, a meal is more complete and delicious when it's been given a lot of love. So when it's been garnished with the proper garnishes and the plate is decorated properly, then the meal is going to be complete. You know, it's something that it's more satisfying to you.
Oh, I agree. Now, your book that you put out is The Gourmet's Guide to Elegant Food Service. And I'll tell you, I think using the term elegant is so significant. The reason being that in today's world, that is not something that young people are educated about. It used to be in school part of what was given as training, especially as with the girls. The boys might be required to take it, but the girls were mandatorily made to take it because they were going to be, as it used to be thought, they were the ones that are going to be taking the homemakers, and so they needed to know the social graces. They needed to know how to set a table. They needed to know how to put things in place. And this was something that was pretty much expected overall. And it went down through all different levels of society. And it's gotten so far removed. And I think that that's really sad, because I think that sense of elegance is needed every once in a while. And I can remember when I was growing up, that was something, especially around the holidays, but that was really what you were to be aware of, because a woman just didn't put a plain table down. You always had to make sure the silverware and everything was in place. And that's part of the beauty with food, is the place settings. And you cover that to a degree in your book. You talk about making beautiful food. I mean, it's one thing to have, a corn and cluck from a local place and eat it out of a box. But if you're really wanting to set a nice table, you need to know about it. There is an educational process that goes on with it.
Oh, definitely. And it's funny you should say that, because I teach high school kids. I teach a class to them called Hospitality.
Ah, great.
Yeah, and one of the lesson plans is the students have to come up and set the table. And before, you know, I always want to get a little overview and see how much they know ahead of time. I will ask them to come up and partners and set the table to see how much they know about setting a table. And most of the time, they're not able to set it. They're not sure what side the fork goes on. They're not sure where the spoon goes. You know, they have no idea how to fold the napkin to make it look nice.
So, and that's true.
Yeah, it's something that, you're like you said, the kids today really are lacking. They really need to learn to cook meals at home again and set the table instead of going out and getting fast food, which is not elegant at all.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Now, in your book, and you have some beautiful photography in your book, The Gourmet Guide to Elegant Food Service. In fact, I have it in front of me. I think that if people are really honest with themselves, whenever they go into a restaurant and everything is very attractively done, they just feel better. There's just this feel about the environment, the ambiance is, I think, what it would be called. And so you have this feel, and you just, it's something you cannot describe. It really is quite, quite nice. And you talk about presenting food, and you've got a photo in your book of a young lady. She's holding a glass of wine in her in her hand, and before her is a beautiful dish. It's a white dish, and I would say it's got curved up corners. It's sort of square, and in there is it looks like a serving of fish, but there are these different sauces that have been swirled in patterns, and then this beautiful piece of white fish, and then there's a garnish on top, and then something like a delicate piece of rice parchment something like this that's on the side. And there's another dish. It's a lamb dish that
lamb chop.
Presented. And it is just beautifully presented. So it's pleasing the eye, and then it's the palate that has to be taken care of. So let's talk about some of the things you mentioned in your book about making an attractive presentation. If you're going to be serving, you know, this isn't mom-pa kettle time where you slop stuff in a bowl and you just pass it down.
No.
Or, you know, it's not that at all. So give us some insights on this.
Well, for a beautiful presentation, like you mentioned, everything has to be just right. So I would even start with the plateware. Get some nice white plateware. You can get different shapes now, even like a square plate. And when you present the dish, make sure the sides of the plate are cleaned off. Don't leave any, like if you have a sauce that you want to put on there, don't leave any on the sides. Put just a little. And I always start with small portions and colors. I like to decorate the plate like the colors of a rainbow. So if you notice in the plates, you have different colors. Usually the green is the herbs, which goes on top. And I like to use a little bit of mint leaves, fresh basil leaves. Those always are real pretty. And I take a decorating bottle. It could even be a bottle that's empty. It looks like a ketchup bottle.
Mm-hmm.
They have like little empty decorator bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put a little sauce inside, even like a little gravy. Or if you're doing a dessert, you can put a little cherry sauce or chocolate sauce and just elegantly go around the plate and just drizzle a little bit around your dish. So if you like the lamb chops, I just took a little bit of gravy, put it in a bottle. I put the lamb chops, grilled them, put them in the middle, And then I just went around and drizzled slowly around the plate with a little decorator bottle instead of using a ladle and splattering it, just lightly. If you do everything lightly and with care, you can get a really beautiful plate, as you mentioned, in small little servings. I don't like to put a lot of food on the plate because it overcrowds it. If you notice, I put a small portion here, a small portion in the middle. Then I drizzle some sauce, and then I like to finish it off with a little parsley or mint, basil. But I like to have fresh herbs always around the house. I always have a little garden of fresh herbs that you can have. Some things are good all year long, like oregano and thyme. Those are always, you can take them inside and they'll stay all year long if you keep watering them.
I was quite fascinated by the information that you had regarding color. Now, you mentioned rainbow. You think of, various colors on a plate. It's like an artist's palette.
Yes.
But you were talking also about rooms and what you use in table decor and the colors of glasses. You bring all of this information out, and you say in one classic study that they found that poultry that was raised in a red environment were happier and ate less. And then in another study, the bulb in a refrigerator of dieters was changed to shed a blue light on all food.
Yes.
And food was eaten from blue plates, and blues were an appetite suppressant. How did I, hey, folks, use blue.
That's true. Yeah, blue, you don't see, blue food, it's not natural. Usually we eat green and reds, but blue, you don't see that too often, like blueberries, but that's about, there's not a lot of blue in our food.
That's true. Well, the Smurfs were awful popular and everything they touched was blue. But anyway, it's just absolutely surprising. Let me share with you quickly a story that I got from a waitress in a restaurant. This is a very well-known chain throughout the country. And they use a lot of red in their decor. And we happened to be talking, and she said they are doing a remodeling in the restaurant. And if you'll notice, they're using a lot of red because they want people to get in and out of the restaurant quickly. They have done the layout, and this is a very popular place. It's a sit-down type of a meal. But you go in, and it's very red. There's lots of reds. And she said everything in their design is so that people will sit down, and even the music they select is of a nature where you're going to eat more quickly than normal, and then they've got the next wave of people. She said it was amazing because they had taught her about this with the color red. And you think of all the pizza joints, you look at, excuse me, for those of you that are refined pizza experts, I don't mean to insult you, but think about this. But there's many, many places. They have red, 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 and it's associated with speed of getting food and also consuming it. Am I wrong in what I understand her telling me?
Oh, no, that's absolutely correct. It's a psychological. They study, when they put the restaurants on together, they do study all of the different things like the color and what type of ambiance, what kind of effect it has on people before they design everything. So, yeah, depending on the type of restaurant, they might want you to leave a little bit sooner and they want a bigger turnover.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll paint. I noticed they had Pizza Hut, that's one, that has all red inside.
Mm-hmm.
And the waitresses, obviously, they want to have more customers. They don't want you staying too long because they want to get more people coming in and more tips that way, too.
Fascinating. And the color yellow. I love the color yellow. But if it's real, real bright in a room, it causes people to get very tired, and then you say infants will cry. If they're in bright yellow rooms, they'll cry a lot more. But a pale yellow creates a harmony. So tones of color make a difference, too.
Oh, yes. And gold is another good one. Gold is a beautiful color for a living room and for a kitchen. Gold
yes.
is a beautiful color.
And you talk about silver. Now, this really intrigues me because I remember being in someone's kitchen that was like an Art Deco style. And it was so much steel in it and chrome, and I didn't like their kitchen at all. And you bring out here that it's associated with science and cold, as in the unfriendly feel. it's a chilling feel.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not warm.
Kind of like a prison cafeteria. You ever watch those old movies? You see the
uh-huh.
prison cafeterias? They're all silver and metal, you know, not too friendly.
Yeah, and the color. So it's really, again, you give so much of this information in your book, and I think that it is wonderful. You talk about doing different sizes, different shapes. Now, one of the things that you talk about is how important your mother was
yes.
in influencing you with food. And being in the catering business with her, when you're catering, what is it that you need to be aware of when you're serving large groups of people? There are times people will have, you know, family reunions, and sometimes it's all up on the kitchen counter and wherever, and people adapt to whatever the environment is. But if you really wanted to have a real nice, large setup for, let's say, maybe 50 to 100 people, what are some of the tips you'd give?
Well, definitely have more food than you need. And the worst thing about a party like that is to run out of food, because everybody is going to be talking about that you ran out of food. So I would say always order more than you need. It's better to have more and need it and not need it than to need it and not have it. So I would recommend, number one, having more. So if you have 100 people, maybe order food for, you know, have more maybe for 150 or 125. So you have a few extra plates
mm-hmm.
left over. You can always use and make something else with, you know, if you have some extra vegetables, you can always make a vegetable soup. You know, there's other things you can do with the leftovers. And also have enough help. I mean, you have to have someone to serve coffee, to run around, someone to clean the tables, busing, and then you need to have someone hosting, you know, welcoming the guests. So it's good to have, if you're going to have this, like a wedding shower or a bridal shower, it's good to have enough help, have people that are willing to, you know, help the guests out
mm-hmm.
so that they're not missing anything. And, of course, someone watching, if you're having a buffet, there should always be two people, one person running back to the kitchen to get the food, and then one person watching the buffet line to make sure it doesn't run out. Because,
mm-hmm.
like I said, if when you run out, then everybody talks about it.
Ah, that is true.
Enough food.
I always have fun using napkins whenever I have a big sit-down dinner. And you have some of the most wonderful, wonderful patterns in here. You have the clown's hat. You have one called the crown, one that's the goblet. Often we'll see the goblet in restaurants where they have a big goblet for water and the napkin is stuck in that. So when you sit down, you remove your napkin and then the waiter will come over and fill the goblet with water. But it really is very pretty. These little touches make such a difference. If you really want to have something special, and then maybe putting a nice napkin ring around, or there's just so many varieties here, and you have got an abundance of them. With these napkin guides, is it primarily for cloth napkins or for paper napkins?
No, this is primarily for cloth napkins.
Okay. So this would be for the cloth. Would any of these patterns that you have in the book work for paper napkins?
You could use for paper napkin the fan. There's one that's a fan fold.
Mm-hmm.
That one would work with paper napkin. And then there's a couple other ones. Let's see, the bishop's hat. That one could be with a paper napkin, too. But it's more elegant when you're using cloth. You know, people feel a lot more special when you have cloth napkins. And they stand better. And it's so beautiful when you walk into a room and see a whole room display of the bishop's mitre on each plate.
Mm-hmm.
It's really classy.
That it is. George, what was your worst experience that you ever had as you were growing into the understanding of the culinary arts? What is something that for you just made you say, I'm never going to do that again?
Oh, well, actually, when I first started out into cooking, my first professor, he was really a tough professor. And it was like my first day in class, and I accidentally burned the rice.
Uh-oh.
It stuck to the bottom of the pan. That was like I think it must have been my first or second day, in class in culinary arts, and he got so upset. And ever since then, you know, he was always kind of giving me a hard time about it. So that was probably my worst experience. But after that, things kind of fell in place. I got a better understanding of, you know, cooking and how food service ran. But, yeah, I'll never forget that when he said that.
It's
amazing
rice,
how burned the rice.
Burned the rice. How did you manage to burn the rice?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we can all talk about our wonderful, wonderful experiences. George, you have also some recipes. Now, being Greek, and I love Greek food, I was not aware that tabbouleh was a food that the Greeks enjoyed because I associated that, of course, it makes sense. I mean, it's a Middle Eastern dish. But did the Greeks originate tabbouleh, or did that come more from the Arabs? You know, where did it come from? Because I learned it from Armenians and Lebanese.
Oh, yeah, the tabbouleh, that's more of a Arab dish. However, just we had kind of a Greek flair to it. We had a little bit more lemon juice and some in the presentation. We like to serve it on a nice lettuce leaf and with some olives and some other Greek and olive oil. So we had a little bit of Greek flair to it.
Now, for those of you listening, let me give you the recipe for tabbouleh. This is a delicious, healthy dish, and it is absolutely wonderful year-round, but it's especially refreshing during the summer months because it's light, but it really is very satisfying. You need a half a cup of, you have a burgle. Is that the same as bulgur wheat?
Yes, same thing.
Okay, and then you're going to need two bunches of flat-leaf parsley, about 1.5 cups chopped. You're going to need a bunch of fresh mint. That's about a half a cup of fresh mint chopped. And fresh is really the best here if you can use it. 3 green onions or 1 small onion, or if you don't like raw onions, you can leave them out, but the green ones are a little bit milder than the regular white onion. 1 large tomato, and then you need 6 tablespoons of lemon juice, 4 tablespoons of olive oil, a little bit of salt, and then romaine lettuce. Now, in the Greek culture, as in the Lebanese culture, and in among the Armenians, just like the Greeks, I should correct myself there, they will use a scoop, like you say, of lettuce to eat with. But you have to soak your bulgur wheat for about 2 hours, and then you rinse it and squeeze it out. And if you have some cheesecloth, you can put it in cheesecloth, or if you have a strainer, you can put it in a strainer and just let it drain out. But you want to get that moisture out of the bulgur wheat because it gets so light then. And you want to wash and chop your parsley, your mint, your green onions. You want it really, really fine. Dice your tomato up, and you put everything together, the wheat, all of this, and then you add to your own taste your lemon juice, the olive oil, mix it well. And I'm telling you, it is absolutely delicious. I just think it's one of the best light salads that you could ever fix, and it's so, so healthy.
Oh, yes, and colorful.
Yes, it is. It is very colorful. Now, with the tabbouleh, you could have the pita bread, any kind of good bread. What else would you suggest serving with the tabbouleh as a complement?
Maybe some pasta, a little bit of bow tie pasta. You can also serve it with that. A little feta cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You can chop up some feta cheese, little cubes, and serve that with your tabbouleh also.
Now, you also have a recipe in here for stuffed grape leaves.
Oh, yeah.
Which, oh, my goodness, the Lebanese, the grape leaves are wonderful. I know some people are not really fond of Greek food, but I love Greek food, and I love the grape leaves. And I used to have a friend, a Lebanese woman. We called her Mama Nash. And Mama Nash would go up to Sacramento. I was living in California at the time in Los Angeles, and she'd drive up to Sacramento. She had friends that had grape vines, and she'd go up in the spring or whenever the leaves were really going to be right for picking, and she would pick huge bunches and then she would go and make her grape leaf, you know, she'd do this stuff so she could store it and have
it
because she would cook, you know, huge meals. And grape leaves were just wonderful. And I can remember just popping one of those things in my mouth after the other and just, you know, being perfectly happy, just feasting on the grape stuffed grape leaves, because she used lamb and rice and all that kind of good stuff. It's really, really great. Now, with this that you have with your grape leaves, and by the way, his book is The Gourmet's Guide to Elegant Food Service, I don't see any meat in your grape leaf mixture. Is there a reason for that? Is it typically not served with lamb?
Well,
mixed with lamb, or is there a variety that you can do with that?
There's varieties, but I personally prefer them without meat, because you can taste the herbs better, and it's a kind of a lighter meal. But, you know, if people prefer meat, they can lamb. Of course, ground lamb is perfect for the grape leaves. But personally, I like them without the meat, and I serve them with a little bit of the tzatziki sauce. There's another recipe a little bit further down.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination of yogurt, sour cream, garlic, lemon juice, and mint. So you dip your grape leaves right into the tzatziki sauce, and you have some olives on the side and some maybe some hummus, and you have a beautiful plate right there just munching on those. That's how they do it in Greece. They build little plates, they call it mezevis, little portions.
Mm-hmm.
So they build this little, sort of a combination platter. And they just snack on them all day. They have little grape leaves. They have a little bit of olive, feta cheese, tomatoes, all fresh stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they have
yes.
a little bit of ouzo on the side or a little red wine.
I just have a total happy day there. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, let me ask you something. The tabbouleh can... You know, if it's put in the refrigerator, that's something you can even prepare the day before.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But the mint can become stronger in flavor if it's prepared the day before. It's been my experience with that. Now, with the grape leaves, can you prepare these in advance? And, you know, if you're going to have a party, because this is perfect as an appetizer. These grape leaves are absolutely marvelous as an appetizer. Can you prepare them a day ahead? If someone was going to have a big get together and they wanted to have appetizers, these grape leaves, stuffed grape leaves are just wonderful. Can they do that?
Oh, yeah. Actually, in my experience, I found that the grape leaves taste even better, actually, the next day, the next couple days, because the flavors have a chance to marinate. You know, everything has a chance to become more tasty, more delicious. So, I find that if you do them a couple days ahead of time, they're even better.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah.
There you go. There you go. Now, George has a wonderful website. It's called eatrightbygeorge.com. And on that website, he's got tips about how you can lose 10 pounds a month by including peanut butter in your diet.
Yes.
And how nuts and eggs are going to, if you're trying to trim off a few pounds, how that's going to help you. And which dairy products can reduce stress hormones in your body and also help you to get rid of that excess that you don't want. It's Good Cooking, his book, The Gourmet's Guide to Elegant Food Service, I think is terrific. And, you know, it makes, believe it or not, might make a nice wedding gift. You know, we're coming up to the month of June. A lot of young people getting married, a lot of young brides have never been educated on how to serve, how to prepare food, how to really be comfortable in having guests over. Instead of just getting out a bag of chips and some dip, why not encourage them to enjoy cooking? Include the guys in it, too. George has been doing it for a long time, and he's pretty good at it. George, do you have any suggestions or any comments you'd like to make before we finish our chat today?
Well, I think, like you were saying just now, if people are going to have a party, they should be more open-minded. Like you said, don't just get the chips and the nachos, nacho cheese and things like that. Try to be open-minded and try some of the different recipes. You'll be surprised at your success, and you're going to get a lot of good feedback from people because they're looking, when they go to a party, to try something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why in this Gourmet's Guide, that's why I include a lot of ethnic meals, ethnic dishes, the things that people don't see too often at a typical party. So why not make yours a little bit more authentic, make it a little bit more interesting, and have some nice ethnic dishes as well.
Oh, I
couldn't
agree with you more.
Instead of just a typical vegetable tray or typical fruit tray.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, George Rapidis, it's been wonderful having you as
Thank
a guest
you.
Today.
Thank you so much.
I always enjoy talking about food as well as eating it. And Greek food is marvelous. So his book, The Gourmet's Guide to Elegant Food Service, some wonderful recipes, but more than that, some insights on how you can enjoy elegant dining on the budget you have and be really impressive to your friends. Don't forget his website, eatrightbygeorge.com. This is Donna Siebel. Again, George, thanks for being with me today. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hello and welcome back. This is Donna Siebel, and the telephone number if you'd like to call in and chat with me is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I know we've got a caller on the line waiting. I'm going to ask that caller if they'll please be patient with me because I want to be sure and let you know tomorrow's the day. That's right. If you're in the Pacific Northwest, I'm going to be appearing at the Emerald Spiral Spring Expo tomorrow, Saturday, from 9 until 5 at Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. Now, this event used to be the Boeing Parapsychology Expo, but now they have changed the name to the Emerald Spiral. It's open to the public. It's wonderful for the family. There's going to be plenty of parking available. We're going to have speakers there. I'm going to have a booth there. There's all kinds of talented vendors with all kinds of wonderful items to sell to you, but also there's going to be a lot of people with varying psychic abilities, and I think you will just have a fabulous time. And come on by and say hello. I'll have my big bright yellow sign, Donna Siebel Show, and you'll know where to find me. And I will be there, and I'll be doing many consultations. Plus, I'm cleaning out my library again. Yes, my goodness, I just have book overrun. So you'll be able to pick up a number of books if you so desire. So anyway, that's tomorrow from 9 until 5. And I'm reminding those of you that have had a special experience, paranormal experience, I'd love to hear from you. I'm putting together a book. It's going to be about 100 stories. It'll range from everything from seeing ghosts to out-of-body experiences, whatever your personal happening has been. I'd love to have that story because I'm going to be, like I said, collecting 100 of them. So email me, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Well, let's get to our first caller of the day. And by the way, if you want to talk to me, 888-815-9756. Hi, this is Donna. Who's on the phone and where are you calling from?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Hi, Donna. It's Frank. I was supposed to call yesterday, but I wound up taking a nap and fell asleep to the show.
Tisk. Well, I hope you had a good rest, regardless.
I was waiting. I didn't want to do anything, so I just waited, and I wound up falling asleep anyway.
Oh, well, that's okay. You're 3 hours ahead of me, so that's forgivable. I understand that. Okay, Frank, because we may have some people listening today that weren't listening the day that you had called in and we ran out of time earlier this week, why don't you repeat what you were wanting to ask me about?
Okay, well, first I'll start off by reading the email and then the question.
Okay.
Email goes, Reiki requires you to actively participate in self-healing. You don't want to. IT is such that it is very difficult to work on yourself. But the connections give you a wonderful feeling of peace. I told you before, there are no shortcuts. You have to do the inner emotional work, and you don't want to go there. This work is very trying and difficult. It requires you to feel, really feel, and work through emotions that you have hidden for a long time in order to release them. IET will not help you with this, not unless someone works on you. You can't do it by yourself. It is no picnic to deal with the emotional release. Now, the thing is that I have a friend who's very sensitive with energy, and when I first discovered that I could feel energy, I just went nuts. I wanted to learn everything.
Sure.
And she guided me towards going with Reiki, and I chose IET because I went to two different Reiki circles, and it didn't feel, I don't know, to use the word resonate, or it wasn't that I thought it was bad or anything. It's just that I was more drawn to IET.
Right. Now tell us what IET is.
It's similar to Reiki. It's where you let energy in, but you create a heart link with an angel first. And the question isn't so much about the energy. The question is more about, I just still don't understand what emotional work she's talking about that I'm not willing to deal with. I know,
Frank,
that I'm not in a state that I was in a long time ago.
I understand. Let me just share some thoughts with you, and you will need to just listen and see if it resonates with you. And I like to use that word, resonate, because we are all very unique and we're all very individual in how we want to express ourselves. Reiki is a wonderful healing technique, but if it doesn't feel right to you at this time, you need to go with what is comfortable for you. Now, with her experience and her background, she has her particular perceptions and awareness. That doesn't make them good. It doesn't make them bad. It's just where she's coming from. When you are doing the seeking, when you become aware of your sensitivities, when you become aware that you have a healing talent, physiology has a lot to do with what's going to work, believe it or not. And a male physiology will respond differently to certain environments than a female. And it all depends on the, for the lack of a better term, the frequency within you. To do what you want to do, to explore, to read, to interact with people who will be mentors to you, don't try to make one of them more superior over the other. You will always encounter individuals that will say this, 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 and this, and that's because it is their paradigm. What you want to do is put yourself in those situations that if they feel comfortable with you, You learn from that situation, you learn from that teacher, and there will come a time when you know that that's no longer where you need to stay. It's time to move on to a different level. Let me give you an example. I have a client that I've known for almost 20 years. This woman has phenomenal healing talents. And she went through a number of different modalities. She has, because of the interaction we have developed through the years, she has not closed her mind to exploring any modality. If it's something that really resonates with her, and that's a very important word, she'll go, this feels good. She could not do Reiki for a long time, and it wasn't an emotional issue. Her body physiologically had to go through an adjustment. She was highly sensitive. So when she started in basic Reiki, when she started in that, she found she had to work with it for a while. The reason being is that her nervous system had to go through a major adjustment. And we would talk about these things, and this helped her understand some of the stuff she was going through. She may have had some emotional issues. She may not have had the emotional issues. All of us are going to have emotional issues at one time or another. We're all going to have things in our memory bank. There are many different modalities that one can explore. What you may find is that when you get feedback like this, you need to say, this is interesting. I really appreciate what you've shared with me, and I respect your perception. I don't know that I agree with it, but I'll respect it. Then go and do what you know is right for you. And you will find you reach points where you outgrow a particular environment. It's time for you to go to the next one. This young lady that I know that has been a master Reiki individual for years, I mean, this is a phenomenal woman. She said, I feel like I'm missing something. I can't quite put my finger on it. And so I introduced her to a Master Lin that's involved with Qigong. And the last time I spoke to her, she said, Donna, I'm going to one of his classes. She said, I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled. So, you see, there's no absolute right or wrong. The key is you have integrity with yourself and that you go with what feels comfortable, and that if at a time you decide you want to explore Reiki, go ahead. But if it doesn't resonate with you, it's all right.
That I think it's bad or anything.
No. I'm not saying about getting mad. I think you need to be comfortable.
I'm not mad.
You need to be comfortable with yourself.
Reiki was bad.
No. I didn't take it that way at all. I want you to honor your own feelings. See, part of the learning curve is trusting yourself. When I started to develop my own intuitive skills, I was brought in contact with, fortunately, many, many people who did things very differently. I said, I don't want to do that. So I had to develop my own style for me. But yet I learned from many other people. I understood from many other people. But the journey of your self-discovery is what this is all about, Frank. It's not about someone else. And it's not about somebody else's classes or this way being the best or that way being the best. It's your being willing to explore your own potential. Am I making sense to you?
Yes.
All right. So trust yourself and be grateful for this person that is wanting to share with you, but maybe she doesn't understand certain things, and she may be so excited about what she's doing that she just wants you to have it and to be there. But your journey may be a different one, and it's not good and it's not bad, and it's not showing her any disrespect. So you can always say, thank you, I really appreciate what you've shared with me. But then you have to have integrity with yourself. You have to do what's right for you.
Yeah.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does. And it's, you know, it's hard understanding this intuitive feeling type of thing, like, because I always, like, over-examined things in my head and wound up making the wrong decision.
Well, The over-examination has come from your private experience, Frank, from what you have been trained to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. You are now coming into a whole different level of understanding that is going to allow you to develop another side of yourself. The linear analytical side is very good. So is the intuitive side. The skill will be when you can bring both of them together in harmony, where they're not going to be at war with each other.
Yeah.
I've got to take a break, Frank.
All right. Thank you very much, Donna. You're so helpful.
Well, I'm so glad. You take care, be good to yourself, and trust yourself. Trust those feelings. You're not going to be wrong. This is Donna Sebo. If you want to give me a call, 888-815-9756. We'll be back right after this.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. If you would like to ask me a question, you know, Frank, I think, offered a very good question, and I really hope that maybe it's helped some of you listening. And that is, if you're interested in exploring the psychic area, the healing area, be open to reading about different modalities. Be open to learning different techniques. I think it is a sad state of affairs, and this is my bias, this is my opinion, when people will say there's only one way to do it, period, either my way or the highway. And I don't agree with that. I really don't. I have been involved in the work of mind for many, many, many years, and I will tell you the journey I went through, maybe I took the hard way, the slow way, but it was my way. And I found along in the journey that there were some people that I really didn't like their ethics. I didn't like how they talked to people. And I also didn't like the feedback that I got from people that were around various individuals because of the ways that they did things. And I thought, I have to represent myself in the way that holds my integrity and my purpose. And that is what I've done throughout my life. And I know there are so many individuals that feel safe and secure when they're in a group. But there comes a time when you need to understand your own individuality and your own form of expression. And this is part of what we call life. And there's no shortcuts. There's no easy fixes. It is discipline that is going to get you to where you want to be. And many times you may want to train with someone. If there is that person that is very knowledgeable, that is a teacher, and this is what they do, you have to understand that you will need to go according to their patterns, which is fine, until you become accomplished, and then you have the opportunity to make a choice. But the reality is you always will have choices. And I think of one man who was a guest on my show, Master Lin, and he's a Qigong master, and he spent most of the years of his life training. His life story is just phenomenal. It's called, his book is called Born a Healer. And if you're interested in healing, you need to read his story. But he trained under specific Qigong masters. And then he decided that part of his journey was to be able to empower the average individual to learn certain techniques. So he developed something called Spring Forest Qigong, which is a wonderful, wonderful modality for wellness. So this is something that he did. He made this choice because he said, this is what my journey is. And he teaches people to this day. Very fine man, very high integrity, and he really cares. He wants people to know that they can heal themselves, they can work with their wellness, that they have physical problems. So again, when you are exploring, when you're first beginning, it's like you're a sponge. You want to take anything and everything in. Well, sometimes you may not physically be able to do that. And sometimes the nervous system has to adapt. And that is why frequently those people that have dedicated their lives to developing certain skills, when they're mature in their 60s, in their 70s, in their 80s, they're extremely what we call powerful. Why? Because they have acquired that refinement, and physiologically they have adapted so that they can utilize their skills. And this is something that should be done with joy. It should make you feel good. It should not deplete you if you're interested in these things. It should not frighten you. It's something that you should have a delight in learning about because it's part of your natural heritage. No matter where you come from, whether you're male, female, it doesn't make any difference. It belongs to all of us. So don't ever forget your mind. Your choices are yours. That you may, just like when you go to school to learn how to read and write, you may have to follow a certain batch of rules for a while. But there comes that point where you can make a choice where you want to go and what you want to do. You're always going to encounter teachers no matter how long you live in this world. And they can come in all kinds of forms. But learning to trust yourself is not an easy chore because so often we're taught to do exactly the opposite. So we have to unlearn certain thought processes. Well, that's my 50 cents worth of wisdom for the day. Let me share a delightful point with you. Grace L'Esperance has this absolutely gorgeous photo. And this is what she says. Beneath a wondrous slate blue sky, the earth wears slippers of green as daffodils in yellow skirts dance upon the scene. What a visual composition with words. Yellow skirts, daffodils dancing upon the scene. Oh, that's exactly what's happening here in the state of Washington. We have got gazillions of daffodils that are just strutting their perky yellow stuff, and it is gorgeous. I was out driving today, and I just was thrilled with this wonderful, wonderful array of color. Tulips are coming up. They're vivid reds, pinks, purples, yellows. It's just joyful to see spring coming out with such exuberance. It's my favorite, one of my favorite seasons in the year, and this is especially good. And I know Easter's coming up, and I have this cute cartoon in front of me. There's two children sitting at a table. They've got an Easter basket, and the little girl is holding an Easter egg in her hands, and the little boy's very animated. He said, Mom's not sure about Peter Cottontail, but she knows dust bunnies are real. Okay, I know. It's Friday, for heaven's sakes. Listen, if you are getting a little bit stressed because of the time change and you've got all of this other stuff that's going on and maybe you're thinking, ooh, spring cleaning, well, I'll tell you what, get out and start doing some gardening. It feels so good to be able to get out and be in touch with the earth and, again, just to walk around a neighborhood, if nothing else, if you're not a gardening person. Walk around and admire and appreciate all of the wonderful work that other people have been doing, and tell them about it. Make sure you let them know that you enjoy their gardens. We have neighbors around us that just have these spectacular gardens that are just beautiful, beautiful to see. Always let people know that you appreciate the time and effort that they put into it, that it's a visual composition that your eyes feast upon every time you walk past it. And, hey, that's spring clean, and before you know it, you're going to be able to open up all the windows, let your house air out, and then just get busy. Maybe you could team up with a buddy and maybe say, I'll help you if you'll help me. And just get some things tidy and in order. There's nothing that makes you feel better, especially getting those windows cleaned after a mucky winter where everything is just all caked and covered with dirt. And by golly, you're able to see out of those windows and let all that wonderful sunshine come in. It is time to be grateful. It is time to be joyful. It is the time of year that signals always rebirth, as Mother Nature just says, well, I was asleep for a while, but I'm awake and moving right now, so perk up and get busy. The days are longer, and they're going to be getting longer and longer as we get more towards summertime. But in the interim, enjoy the beauty that is around you. Visit the gardens in your local neighborhood. Take time to go out and, just like I said a moment ago, walk. It just does wonderful things for the spirit. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back here same time, same place on Monday. Hope to see some of you at the Emerald Spiral Spring Expo tomorrow. But have a fabulous weekend. Be safe, be happy, be joyful, and also be grateful. Remember always, you're the master of your fate, the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.